Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. I feel a little bit of pep in the step of Milwaukee today. Couple of reasons. One, it was supposed to snow a ton, but it didn't. I guess because of dry air, so thank you, dry air. And then two, the Bucks are back tonight after an impossibly long All-Star break. You know, these All-Star breaks seem a little longer, Chuck, when your team's not terrible. When they're actually the best team in the East, the All-Star break actually seems a little bit longer than when they're, like, fighting for an 8 seed with their new toy, John Solomon's.
Or trying to figure out how many losses the Bucks can get in their final 25 games so they could tank or not tank and get a higher draft pick and be in the lottery. God, I've been down that road so many times. So this is the first time ever that we've done a show ever on this station car. Coming after the All-Star break, the Bucks are the best team in the Eastern Conference. And that's a great place to be in. Now, again, I was telling you on the show yesterday, this is a tough stretch of games, especially these home games coming out of the All-Star break here in the next month. You got some good teams coming in. You even got to go on the West Coast for a little bit of a swing. But, man, you got this Boston Celtic team that comes in and, you know, they've won 12 of 15, Bart, but people are talking about they have not played their best basketball just yet.
No, and the thing on them, and we've said this before, they've got like 8 starters for 5 spots, and you think, okay, that's a good thing. That means they've got a lot of guys that can start that are good, because what you saw last year in the playoffs was a different team. No Gordon Hayward, no Kyrie Irving, and so it allowed guys like Tatum and Jaylen Brown to step up, and even Terry Rozier to step up. And now it's kind of when you work Kyrie and Gordon back into that, you try to figure out how that works. And while on the surface you can think, well, they haven't figured it out yet, they're also 16 games above 500, and right now would have the 4 seed in the East. The Eastern Conference standings right now, Bucks are number one. They're a game up over the Raptors. So you would think with 25-some games to go, it'll be those two fighting for it. Pacers are 5.5 back in Milwaukee. Celtics, Sixers, both 6.5 back. I would bet that the Pacers fall to the 5. I know they've played well without Oladipo, but I think your top 4 will be your top 4, and we'll avoid any of the 4 heavyweights, as we're calling them, battling each other in the first round. So it should be some of Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Sixers for the top 4, and then Pacers 5, Nets, Hornets, Pistons, Heat, Magic, maybe the Wizards to round out 7 and 8, 6, 7, and 8 there. But the Celtics, you know, 6.5 back. I mean, if they play well, if they get the win tonight, if the Bucks kind of slip up a little bit, they could be a team to overtake. Nothing is set in stone yet. It seems like it's Bucks Raptors for the one, but nothing's set in stone. And this will be a interesting game tonight. It will be a tiebreaker game. Again, even though the Bucks are 6.5 up, this is the third time they've played this season. It will be the 3rd of 3. They've each won on their home courts so far this season. And you'd have to go back to last year in the regular season when the visiting team won, because in the playoff, remember, best of 7, home team won every game, and then so far the home team has won each game in this series. So this definitely interesting, going to be interesting to see. I'm assuming Kyrie plays tonight, but interesting to see how these teams respond after the break, who the wear and tear builds on a little bit more, and if the Bucks can keep up that momentum after a week off, and hopefully we see Nikola Mirotic tonight.
Yeah, Kyrie, the team is 8-2 without Kyrie, the Celtics. And Stevens was asked, boy, you know, he played well without Kyrie. Are you almost better off without him if he does become a free agent? And he said, no, I mean, we need Kyrie on this team. We need him going forward. you know, as much drama as he creates. He didn't say this, but, you know, I mean, Kyrie, they need Kyrie on that team. If you look at the playoffs right in today, man, that's a hell of a 4-5 game in that first round. Boston against Philadelphia, both teams with question marks, both teams who could compete for the Eastern Conference Championship, but like if the playoff picture would end today, and I assume Indiana's eventually going to slip down.
Right. That, you look at the standings
Boston,
now.
Yeah, but Boston and Philly, man, that is a hell of a first. One of those teams is going to go home with some question marks about their upcoming season.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. There's plenty of time. The Pacers are only one up on both of them.
But the Pacers just, I thought when they lost Oladipo that they were just going to slide down, Bart. And, I mean, I thought maybe they'd fall maybe to the sixth seed. But they just keep winning games, and they're 18 above. But, they're not going to go down to the sixth seed unless they tank unintentionally. But I'd look for them to be a 4 or 5.
It should be Bucks, Raptors 1-2 either way, Celtics, Sixers 4 or 3-4 either way, and then Pacers 5. That's, I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to shake out.
Yeah.
Pacers are 3 right now, but again, just one up on Boston and the Sixers. I think what everybody wants is those four teams, Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Sixers, to then play each other in the Eastern Conference semifinals, finals, in which case Bucks would probably either have the Sixers or the Celtics.
Yeah.
And then maybe the Raptors in the ECF. So we'll see. We'll see. There's plenty of time, plenty of things that can happen. But tonight is a matchup that you may see again in the playoffs.
Yeah. And nobody's really thinking about, I mean, the Pacers got the 3 seed right now. But when you talk about the heavy hitters in this conference, the teams that could make a difference, it's Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, and Sixers. Those are the big four. And the Pacers are an extreme dark horse in all this because those other teams are just so much better. Yeah, but tonight with the Celtics, I mean, this is what makes this a huge game. If you beat the Celtics, if they have any shot of getting a first or a second seed, you got to win a game like tonight. The Celtics got to come in 5-serve and win a game like tonight.
Couple of stats here. Again, these teams have played each other twice, the home team winning each time this season. Giannis against Boston, 2 games, averaging 32 points. Pretty good. But just 3.5 assists against Boston this year. So they're trying to take away that option. You know, Giannis likes to go into the middle and then maybe dish out for a guy hoping to get a three-pointer. Boston does a good job defending that. On the other hand, Budenholzer is basically saying, okay, Boston, shoot the three. Boston in that first game went 25 of 54, or 24 of 55, won. But then in the loss for Boston, just 10 of 34. So they're going to pressure Giannis. Boston is. Milwaukee's going to try to let Boston shoot the threes. And that's why if Boston and Milwaukee do face each other in a playoff series, the guy I am worried about, well, Kyrie. I'm worried about Kyrie all the time. He's very good. But Al Horford. Because if Al Horford makes his threes, Celtics usually win those games against Milwaukee. If he doesn't, Milwaukee can get the victory.
So the Bucks won at Boston.
Bucks won at home.
Didn't they win at Boston, too, right around Christmas?
That was at home.
I thought they won a game at Boston right around Christmas. They finally ended that skid. They lost early in the year. I thought they played 3 times.
They've only played twice.
Okay, I thought they played a game at Boston right before Christmas where the Bucks went into Boston and held on and beat the Celtics.
You might be thinking of their G League teams if they played each other.
Yeah, okay. I don't know who I was thinking about. I thought they went there right before Christmas and won a game.
The Celtics came here right before Christmas.
All right.
Remember you watched it in Eau Claire?
Yeah, I thought that game was there. But okay, then if it was here, that's fine. That was... No, it was at Boston. They won 120 to 107.
That game was at Boston?
Yeah, December 21st.
Sorry, everyone. We both have to look at this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because I would have.
You're right. Boston did not come here yet.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, they went to Boston, and remember that was a game. It was like, can the Bucks finally win a game at Boston? And they got over the hump and they won
that
game.
I've been talking wrong for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Show's over.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
No.
I'm out.
I think we're gonna be okay. It's just that so they haven't come here.
No, you and I will be okay. I'm a wreck.
No, come on, you'll be fine. But because.
Chuck, the audience demands that we are perfect at all
times. Can't
do
it. Can't do it. Even the guys on PTI have a guy corrected him. We going to need Horvat out here to correct this?
Well, actually, his name is Horvat, so he will need to come out
here. Okay, then I made my mistake.
To correct you.
So, yeah, they get, remember when they got that win in Boston right before Christmas, it was like, finally, they found out that they could win.
Chuck, that game was in Milwaukee. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
They found out that they could finally win a game at Boston Garden. Now, you're supposed to say it's not the Boston Garden anymore, Freeman.
Chuck, it's not. It's the TD Garden.
It's the TD Garden
now. Idiot.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's like an inch away from the old garden. You know, I think they built like an inch away from where the old garden stood when they built this new place. But never was in the old Boston Garden. But, yeah, coming here for the first time, that's their final appearance, right? They only play them three times. So we had to go twice to Boston, and the Celtics, is this their only appearance?
Yeah. This for sure is their only appearance in Milwaukee.
God, it's like a Western Conference thing.
All right. I will say that for sure.
So, God, the unbalance. You used to do 2-2. I know you do the 1-1 for the Western, but the 2-2, man. How come Boston gets two games at their place and we got one here?
I don't know. It's unfair.
Yeah, that is unfair.
We should look into it.
It is.
Mike's in Franklin, 799-1250. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? So I like the matchup tonight, but I think we're forgetting about one player. Maybe you guys have spoken about him. Jason Tatum, he's taken a pretty big leap over the last year or so. He's starting to remind me a little bit of Tracy McGrady. He's got a jumper. He's a big, tall dude, very athletic. So that's why we need Nikola Mirotic to start making those threes and, you know, put some points on the board for the Bucks. That's why we acquired him.
Yeah, you know, there's some people out there who think Tatum might be the heart and soul of this team. It's still Kyrie. But as you said at the top of this thing, they got eight guys who could start on this team. There's eight guys. You could throw any one of those eight guys from Rozier and any of these seven guys, and they could be effective in that lineup. No.
Don't listen to anything I say. I'm an idiot.
Winkler having his problems tonight.
But you should not be on the air. You are not qualified.
I know. Oh, man. Well, if Bill Schroeder says it, must be true.
You know, if those walls could talk. Kyrie Irving, did you see the video after the All-Star game? In the tunnel with Kevin Durant?
Yeah, and the chatter.
Yeah.
That's got Boston upside down.
Well, they were talking, and somebody was taking a video in an area where I guess you shouldn't be. But what you could see, what you could visibly see Kyrie doing to Kevin Durant, and Kyrie's sitting there talking against the wall, and Durant's kind of pacing back and forth, like, okay, I'm listening. Kyrie puts up two fingers.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he said, but if you look at somebody and you're trying to read lips and you have an idea of what they're trying to say, it looks like he's trying to say two max slots, talking about New York, mm-hmm. going to New York for two max slots. So Boston's upside down because Kyrie's already like staging his exit. When Durant was getting his MVP trophy, none of the players were still watching except for Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie was like all over Durant all weekend. So it seems like from the outside, Kyrie is already thinking of New York, max slot, him and KD next season.
See, I thought he was signaling to him, hey, is there going to be an Uncle Drew 2? Is the sequel coming out very soon? Wow. Was that on its way? That's what I thought. I thought that's what he was referring to.
Who wrote that for you?
Hey, no, that's right out of the couch in Lomira, my friend.
That's funny.
No. So the speculation, two max slots.
Uncle Drew 2, yeah.
Uncle Drew 2.
Yeah, we're off base. Two max, we're off base,
I don't know, two tickets to paradise. So yeah, the two max slots in New York, obviously the two max slots in New York, you know, and Kyrie was probably asking him, hey dude, what's the plan for the summer? What are we doing?
I don't know why you do it there in public. Yeah. Or why you wouldn't just like text him, but yeah, that's how it goes. Kyrie, obviously he doesn't like any of this. Just like Kevin Durant, they don't like being questioned about their impending free agency, and Kyrie reiterated that yesterday.
Talks don't stop. I mean, the talks follow the great players in the league, and I'm appreciative and grateful to be one of those great players in our league now. You know, I've worked my way to get here, you know, and honestly, all that goes with the free agency talk is really a distraction.
The other thing is that he said media breaks up locker rooms, and that's why, like, I'm not saying that we're, you know, the reason for anything. But when we're a part of the giant conversation around Chris Middleton, around Giannis, that's why I think a lot of fans have thought, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to put it out there. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to put it out there. And when we talk about Middleton so much, as we've done in the last couple of weeks, it's like we keep saying 30 million max, 30. He hasn't said anything about that. And then we're talking about it. So then fans talk about it. And then it's demanded that the beat writers ask him. So then they ask him. And then just your guys' little Twitter conversations eventually get to us, eventually get to them, eventually get to the players. So I think we want to kind of be careful with that because Kyrie says that, yeah, this kind of stuff breaks up locker rooms.
Media has broken up locker rooms. Like, it's been done before, like where you say something and it's misinterpreted, and instead of addressing it with the person or individual, like human interaction, you read it on your phone. Like, you read it on a text. Somebody says that, hey, did you see what this person said about you and it's your teammate? And you're like, wait, I didn't hear that. And then you hold back. You don't say anything to them. And then throughout the season, it ends up coming out again. Man, that's not the way life is supposed to go. You know, it's a unique position, but I'm appreciative that I can have this understanding now.
All that drama that's created in the NBA. And like I said before, you know, these teams, you know, like in the media and players, all they talk about is the movement of players. Is Kyrie going to stay in Boston? Is he going to be part of a sign and trade? Could he get traded to Golden State for Kevin Durant in a sign and trade? Where's Anthony Davis going to end up? We talk all day about Middleton, but this is what the NBA has come to. It's just all this hot stove league that takes place during the season. When it should take place after the season, it takes place during the season.
Well, you also have guys liking Instagram posts of each other and Kyrie talking after the game to Kevin Durant saying two max slots. Like, yeah, okay, the media can break up locker rooms, but you're talking to him in a public forum. Should the media be there? Should whatever. Talk to him later.
Yeah.
But you're doing two. Yeah, of course that's going to, even if you are saying Uncle Drew too, of course it's going to be interpreted that way.
Yeah, but still, I mean, should that prevent you from talking to your guy if he's your buddy?
Do it in the locker room.
Well, you can't go in each other's locker room.
The All-Star game, though.
Oh, at the All-Star game. I don't know what the rules are.
Like, if Kyrie wants to, at some point in All-Star weekend, tell Kevin Durant, hey, I want to go to New York with you.
Mm-hmm.
There are many other times to do that where there are not cameras.
You could FaceTime.
Sure.
You could FaceTime in your hotel room. Yeah. But still, it may just have been an innocent conversation between those guys. Could have been talking about Uncle Drew, too. But, yeah. But what happens is what we do is we speculate what those two guys are talking about.
Bart, you should not be on the air. You are not qualified.
I've already atoned for that. Yes. Please, I've made a mistake.
We've moved on.
I'm sorry. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by... I made another mistake.
Winkler having his problems tonight.
I'll get better, I promise.
We need to start the 7 o'clock over.
I would love to.
We can start the whole week over.
I'd love to start our whole tenure of the show over.
What would you do differently?
I'd call it Chuck and Bart.
Yeah. That's a whole different road.
Yeah.
We'll
address that.
Wasn't our choosing.
No.
Yeah.
We'll address that another time. Yeah. It is tax time. If you're getting your tax refunds back, you want to make the most of those. So not only do you get them back, but you also, I mean, you still want to use that money wisely. You can use it wisely over at Hyundai West Dallas. Check out some of the options you've got on the new vehicles. The 2019 Hyundai Tucson, $199 a month you could drive that for. The Santa Fe, $219 a month. Hyundai's always got great deals. They've got the Hyundai warranty. They've got the assurance. They've got all that. Hyundai is a really good car. I've had the Santa Fe Sport now for nearly a year. Love the vehicle. It's been great in the wintertime. I mean, I'm finding new things that the car can do all the time. I love the car. I love the vehicle. I'm a Hyundai guy now, and I love that. So, get a Hyundai. I mean, that's the first pitch. The second is get it from Hyundai West Dallas, because these guys are going to go the extra mile to make sure you know everything about your vehicle, to make sure it is the perfect fit for you. And if you have questions, it's a great spot to return to for my entire life. When I either buy cars or go somewhere for service, I never got a good feeling about the place that I was at. You should have somebody that you can trust that can be like a friend in the business. You know, you want to say, I've got a guy. Well, I've got guys, and they're at Hyundai West Dallas. The service department, they're great. Just took my car in for an oil change. Brian helped me out with everything that I needed. They gave me a discount because I mentioned that Gary Ellerson sent me. So you can mention that. I couldn't say I sent myself. I had to mention one of the guys from the Fan. So I mentioned Ellerson. So mention that we sent you over there. They'll give you a discount just for listening to the Fan. And when you buy a new car, too, let them know that you heard about them on the Fan. Not only do you get all the great Hyundai deals, But they'll help you out. They love the station. They love sports. They listen quite a bit. And they, if you've called in or tweeted, they might even already know you in advance. So a real good starter for that relationship. You have sports in common with most everyone you're going to act with over there at Hyundai West Dallas. Check them out, Highway 100, just off of Arthur, between Lincoln and National there. If you're in Waukesha, 15 minutes away. If you're downtown, 15 minutes away. It's real convenient. HyundaiWestDallas.com. Check them out, Highway 100 in Arthur, Hyundai West Dallas. Bucks Celtics tonight. George Hill, we'll hear from him coming up, and we've got a lot to get to. We'll let you know coming up next on The Fan.
I don't think it's tough to do. You know, I think you got to come in with a mindset knowing that, you know, we have to finish the season strong. You know, I talked to most of the guys saying, you know, the 5 games before All-Star break is very important. The 5 games after All-Star break is important. That's where you kind of separate yourself. Guys that, you know, don't take care of the body, don't do things, you know, during All-Star break kind of, you know, takes a couple games to get back to that rhythm and things like that. But today in practice, you know, things were still rolling, hitting on all cylinders, and it was fun to be back.
That's George Hill, traded to the Bucks earlier this season. He, along with Steve Novak, joining Bill Michaels for last night's Milwaukee Basketball Hour right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can find the full podcast at Fan On Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. I tuned in a little bit last night. They were talking country music. George Hill's a big country music fan.
Oh, like a current or past country?
I think he likes current country, but maybe past.
The Luke Bryants of the world, that sort of thing?
You almost can't like current country and past country because it's so different.
It is. I mean, there's just two different.
It's more like pop now.
It's like music is kind of like top 40. Used to be top 40. Now it's today. It's, I don't even know what they call it today. Hot AC?
Yeah, top 40.
Something
hot
like
AC.
That, yeah.
Yeah,
kind of evolved.
Top 40.
Yeah, I mean, those guys who were in the 80s, if Mellencamp, who's on tour, or Springsteen, they can't get on today's radio stations. Their music isn't just, it's not today's radio. They could put out the best song in the world. They're never getting any airplay. And same with country singers from yesteryear. They're not going to put any songs out, make new albums, because why? They're not going to get on any airplay anyway.
Well, every pop song sounds like a commercial now.
Yeah, and every country song is back on pop radio.
Yeah, if you listen to pop music, it all sounds like it's an Old Navy commercial.
It does.
The whole time.
It does. So George Hill likes country music, huh?
George Hill likes country. You know what he doesn't like? He said he doesn't like basketball that much. George Hill last night.
What?
On the Milwaukee Basketball Hour.
I mean, I'm weird. You know, I'm not a basketball fan.
I love it.
I love playing the game. I love the competitive side of it. You know, that's all I love about the game. I don't really study the history of it. You know, that's no disrespect to anybody that's playing the game. But I don't let basketball consume who I am as a person. You know, I have a life off the court. So I just love the competitive drive. I love to compete. I love to win. Once that stuff is gone, I'll be gone. But other than that, once I go home, I don't watch basketball. I don't play it on the video games. My wife tries to get me to watch basketball, but I watch HGTV and Hunt and stuff. So,
I don't know how I feel about that, but I mean, as long as the guy plays as well as he did against Indiana 8 days ago, I'm good with it. Yeah, I mean, really. But I think if you are, I thought that, you know, if you are an NBA player, or if you're in any type of job like this, I guess you're kind of invested in college basketball, or if you're an NBA player, you're in the NBA or Major League Baseball, you know what's going on, you're in tune, you're watching it. Man, I'm a little surprised to hear that, but I mean, if whatever. His wife is trying to get him to watch the NBA, not the other way around.
You okay that he likes HGTV?
I don't even know what that is. I mean, I know it's on the cable
system. HGTV
is. No, tell me what's on there.
Well, it stands for Home and Garden TV.
Okay, I don't watch it.
But what it essentially is, it's a lot of house buying and house flipping shows.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've seen that before. That I feel like there's many channels on TV that's got that sort of thing.
There are, but HGTV does it the best.
I don't even know if I pay for that on my cable system.
Well, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
No.
I'll watch HGTV, Fixer Upper, Hometown.
On my cable system, where I am.
Property Brothers, I'm a Property Brothers
see,
guy.
See, I'm pretty much a 600-channel guy. That's where usually all the sports channels are, ESPN, Fox Sports Wisconsin, and all that.
House Hunters, but not House Hunters International.
No, I usually don't venture down to the 500s. 600s usually. If I could just have the 600s on my cable system, where you got the sports channels, like last night CBS Sports, all that, and then give me the local channels, and I'm good. I don't need HGTV. I don't need MTV anymore. None of it. Just give me the sports channels.
I think there's a part of you that might like HGTV.
Well, here's the deal. When I do flip around to something like that, it's like a reality show, you kind of get sucked in.
Yeah, HGTV is cool because, like, the shows where they have different houses to pick, and then you can, like, play along, like, what house are they going to pick? And then when they pick it, like, sometimes they'll remodel it too, or they'll remodel their home, and then you can see what it used to look like and then what it looks like now.
No, probably not.
It's a great Saturday, Sunday morning thing.
Yeah.
It's great. Have a cup of coffee, read a little sports. Watch a little Home and Garden.
You know what I watch on Saturday mornings if I don't put on SportsCenter?
ESPN Classic.
No, surprisingly not.
NBA Classic.
Ever watch Discover Wisconsin?
Okay, sure.
On PBS, where they go around the state of Wisconsin and they go up north and they do this. Or I love that show.
What's the one with Lara Shera? Is that Due North?
No. Yes. Well, that's a hunting and fishing show.
Which one's Lindsay Hayes on?
Oh God! Didn't they?
Because Lindsay worked. In lacrosse when I worked there.
Is she the blonde?
Well, they're both blonde, I think.
Okay. I thought on like Due North, didn't they replace one blonde with another?
I think that's two different shows.
Okay. There was this woman who did TV sports in Wausau, and she would do a hunting and fishing show on Sunday nights. And she was over big time up there. I mean, you do a hunting and fishing show in northern Wisconsin, and you're a good-looking woman. And the problem here is all the guys would be saying to their wives or girlfriend, hey, how come you can't be like that woman? She's grabbing a northern by the gills. You won't even go fishing with me, and here this girl's going out there and getting it done.
Chuck knows how to treat a lady.
I think she's doing sports in WGN these days in Chicago, but she was like doing the she was doing hunting and fishing shows up in Wisconsin, and I mean drawing mega ratings up there.
Anyway, that's our George Hill preview for tonight's
hunting and fishing. Did he say anything basketball related?
He said he likes playing in Milwaukee.
I like him too, just not for $19 million a year.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Ben Wergel will join us. We'll talk about if the Badgers have an Ethan Happ problem coming up next. We're also going to talk later in the show with a couple of national guys. We're going to talk baseball 9 o'clock with Scott Miller. We're going to talk with Brian Robb, get a preview of the Celtics, more on that Kyrie stuff. That'll be at 9:15. Tim Allen also to join us, Hot Stove Weekly post-game show host in the 8 o'clock hour. So a lot to get to. We'll get to the Badgers, the Ethan Happ situation. Ben Wergel, he'll join us next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Everyone is game by game in terms of who's on the floor. It's gut instinct. It's who's playing well, who's struggling, situationally, matchups. And then I had to go with who I thought was playing well and who was going to give us the best opportunity. And like I said, that's been so many nights he's carried us. It's a night we had to have other people help carry him.
That's Greg Gard, head coach, your Wisconsin Badgers. Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan. Was it the turnovers? Was it the free throw shooting? Why didn't Ethan Happ play those final 4 minutes in their win against Illinois the other night? Finally, a scandal to rock the Badgers basketball program other than why is it so boring watching this team play? Ben Wergel joining us, who covers this team night in and night out with BadgersInsider.com. Hey, Benny, what's up?
Hi, Ben.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Ben. Okay, now, Coach Gard will say, well, I'm not going to put him in there because he turned the ball over too many times. He turned the ball over 3 times in the first half, Ethan Happ. But, I mean, is that just a cover-up for his poor free throw shooting to say, hey, I we're playing Illinois. It's a close game. We're not playing very good. We can't lose this game and lose it because our star player can't make a free throw.
The turnovers were in the second half.
Oh, I thought it was the first half. Okay.
And the third one came on a bad possession, and then DeSomo came down and tied the game at 52. Mm-hmm. And that happened with about 4:06 remaining, and that's when Gard pulled the plug. So I do buy that. The argument. Happ was not playing well. He was making poor decisions with the ball. He played okay in the first half. He really was the only means of offense for the team for a long period of time. I think it was almost 8 minutes before someone other than him scored. I mean, they started 1 for 10. They were 4 of 18. They just weren't shooting the ball well. And you know, you have to give credit to Illinois. Illinois plays a brand of defense that is unlike anything in the Big Ten, and Greg Gard said himself after the game, and I agree with him, that Illinois probably since over the last month is the most improved team in the Big Ten. I mean, their record doesn't show up, but they knocked off Maryland on the road, Michigan State at home. They had one 4-in-a-row coming into the game, and they forced a lot of turnovers. And Happ was playing too fast, making bad decisions. Now, you'd be naive to say free throws doesn't have something to do with it. One would think it does because Happ missed all three of his free throws and now is, you know, below 44% on the season. It's a close game. And Wisconsin hasn't really never did pull away. They never led by more than eight the entire game. But you had a number of players, reserve players, who were playing very well. Cole Iverson had the best game of his season on Monday night. Brevin Pritzel had a career-high 10 rebounds and was playing very, very well. So I have a feeling it has more to do with Happ rushing and making bad decisions and putting Wisconsin in bad possessions and a slight amount to do with his free throws. But you have to give credit. It was a gutsy call, and Wisconsin up closing the game on a 12-6 run with Happ on the bench.
Chatting with Ben Wergel, the Badger Nation on Twitter, BadgersInsider.com, brought to you by Creative Construction, providing quality plaster and stucco services with unsurpassed workmanship. Call CreativeConstruction.com. That's what happened at the end of that game against Illinois. The beginning was brutal in its own right. Just 6 points for the Badgers through the first 12 minutes. Started 3 of 17 shooting. This is not the first time we've seen the Badgers start slow. Is there a tangible fix to that, or do they just have to shoot their way out of it?
Well, they've been a second-half team the whole year. You look at the splits for Wisconsin, second half they're considerably higher, over 7 points per game. The field goal percentage, three-point percentage, free throw percentage are all significantly higher in the second half than the first half. I think that this contest has more to do just with Illinois and how they play defensively, that aggressive defensive style. It's hard to simulate in scout team practice. Illinois has got a lot of really good young players that play it really well. So I think it was just a matter of them settling in. You look at the shot selection, the shots weren't all that bad for the most part. They just weren't falling for Wisconsin. And it comes to a point where you just need to find a way to settle in and not do too much. That's happened at times this year for Wisconsin where their backs are kind of against the wall in certain situations, and they settle. And I think at times Wisconsin got too jump shot happy, but then the second half, you know, they got 18 points in the paint. They started improving their defense with their turnovers. They got 12 points off turnovers in the second half. They did some really nice things after halftime once they were able to sell in, and then, you know, they end up shooting about 48% in the second half. So it's just one of those things where it just takes Wisconsin a little bit to settle in. And against teams in the Big Ten, you're kind of rolling the dice when you have to do that week in and week out. It's come back, it's hurt Wisconsin certainly at times this year, especially that loss at home to Minnesota and the loss at Maryland are the two games that really stand out.
You know, I think they're in a tie, or they were going into last night's games. They were in a tie for fourth in the Big Ten going into last night. Doesn't feel that way, though. It feels like they should be like middle of the pack toward the bottom of the pack, but you know, anytime this team has got a couple of losses, seems like they come roaring back with a few wins and straighten out the ship.
Yeah, it's a very interesting year for Wisconsin because you get the sense of watching some of these games that their record should be a lot worse than it is currently. But then you look at some of the games they lost and think, man, this team, if they just had finished against Michigan or finished against Michigan State, or not giving away that game against Purdue at home or giving away that game against Minnesota at home, this team would be right there in the thick of the race, if not leading the Big Ten with just five games to go. So, you know, it's one of those glass half full, glass half empty sort of situations. And Wisconsin hasn't had many breaks go their way either in terms of results. I mean, you look at Tuesday night, you know, two teams that have them eke out wins on the road. And that's kind of been the key this year, is that Wisconsin has won their games on the road. They've been a very good Big Ten road team, which we'll see here over the next week with a game at Northwestern on Saturday, then Indiana early next week. But they just have not finished games at home. And the Kohl Center has been such a huge home court advantage for them over the years. Just to kind of give those games away in winnable games, it just kind of makes you feel coulda, woulda, shoulda a little bit. And so instead of being in a tie for first place or in first place, you're 2.5 games back in fifth place coming down the stretch here.
Ben Wergel joining us here, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. The talk of college basketball today, Zion Williamson going down. We'll find out just how bad the situation is later today, I would expect. Is this? Do you see this as like a monumental maybe moment for college basketball? Because he's got to decide, does he if he can, does he come back? Does he not come back? We're already seeing a lot of one and dones. And I think a lot of people are at the point, at least Chuck and I. I mean, if Chuck is there, I would assume a lot of people say, you know, it's great to play for the university on the front of your chest, but these guys got to look out for number one, and the college game just isn't what it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's almost kind of a silly rule to have. You have to go to 1 year of college before you're eligible. Yeah, get rid of the rule and make kids who are ready for high school, out of high school, that feel they're ready for the NBA, go to the draft, or make it 2 years. Make it you have to commit to 2 years of college before you leave. I don't like the whole one-and-done phenomena that has occurred over the last couple of years, and I think there should be something, too, where if you are an underclassman and you declare for the draft and you don't get drafted, even if you have hired an agent, you should have the right to repay that agent and return to school. I think we've seen that too many times here over the last couple of years where players will declare before they're ready, they don't get drafted, and then they're stuck in the G League at best or playing overseas. You know, Zion Williamson is obviously an incredible talent, and you look at what his numbers are right up there, probably in the National Player of the Year conversation, if not the leader in that race. He's a guy that belongs in the NBA right now, not playing at Duke or playing at Kansas, wherever he would have decided to go. And just like that, he'll be gone. And no one will remember, really, this 1 year. It just is one of those things where I think it's a silly rule, and you need to do away with it or you need to extend it and make it 2 years. I think that's got to be, you know, if I was running things, that's what I would do with it.
Ben Wergel at the Badger Nation on Twitter, BadgersInsider.com. Appreciate it, Benny. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
Take care, guys.
Ben Wergel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Yeah, this is where I feel like a mid-major is eventually going to win a national championship. We saw Loyola go to the Final Four. We saw Butler go to two Final Fours, including a national championship. But, you know, those guys, those two teams, have four-year players. You know, the mid-majors, those guys, most of the time, you know, four-year players. And this is where I think, again, I'm not surprised when a mid-major makes it, because the teams that got the McDonald's All-Americans and all that, I mean, these guys play for 1 year and they leave. These teams that have these guys who stick around for 3 or 4 years develop some chemistry. They're able to play some ball together. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why Wisconsin has succeeded. Marquette succeeded with Dwayne Wade. Stayed for 2 years, but a guy next to him, like Travis Diener, there for 4 years. He was a four-year guy. Wisconsin's able to succeed because most of the time they got four-year guys like Ethan Happ. Guys are going to stick around. And, you know, a 22-year-old on a basketball court with 4 or 5 years experience, man, that bodes well in the college game.
Guys can't stay at their programs forever. Also, the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza cannot stick around at Perkins forever. This appears to be the final weekend that you can get the Perkins and get the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. Just $6.99 is going to get you 3 eggs, 4 pancakes, 4 slices of bacon, and crispy hash browns. 3 eggs, done how you like. The 4 pancakes, 4 slices of bacon, and crispy hash browns. Any Perkins in the Milwaukee area, any Perkins in southeastern Wisconsin, ask for the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza, and that's what you will get for just $6.99. It's 2 plates full, 4 pancakes, 4 slices of bacon, crispy hash browns, and then the eggs done however you like. Send me a tweet when you do that at Winks Thinks. I've been enjoying watching some of you guys eat these breakfasts. Sometimes I'll wake up on the weekend, you sleep in a little bit, a little late, very hungry, and I see people tweeting me the breakfast, and I try to eat my phone. It's true. It's not an antidote. I've tried to eat my phone before. It looks so good. $6.99 at Perkins, but again, it is only available for a limited time. So Frames and I seem to agree on the college basketball take. There's another thing, Chuck, that you and I agree on that I think we might be the only two people that feel this way, and it's about an athlete in the state of Wisconsin that is more celebrated for doing less, and he's getting a lot of attention right now.
Chris Middleton?
No, come on. Frames. He's getting a lot of attention right now. As we speak over the audience, we'll hear from him next.
If you've ever thought about...
This is the highlight of my career, probably. But you know what? That AmFam Championship event that we put on in Madison, being able to raise a couple million dollars for our foundation and be able to give that away is pretty special, too. But, yeah, being a captain of a U.S. team here in Wisconsin, my backyard, is really special and probably the top of the list.
I don't hate Steve Stricker. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. I think when it comes to Steve Stricker, he gets a lot of admiration and love throughout the state because he's obviously from the state of Wisconsin. I think he gets more love and admiration than he deserves. He's never won a major.
No, you know, when I saw a picture of him yesterday at the Pfizer Forum, or wherever the hell it was downtown yesterday, you don't recognize him without a cap on.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't know who he was.
Oh, man. You know, that's Steve. He just looked like he just kind of... A little early for Steve, it looked like yesterday. But I just got the impression over the last 10 years that golf was not a big deal to Steve. You know, he was not playing a lot. Now he's going to play, he says he's going to be playing more PGA events, but that, you know, that I didn't feel like the fire was burning. He was becoming, you know, not that it's a bad thing, but he was becoming more of a family man, and practicing golf and going out on the tour and playing all the events was not a priority for him anymore.
He was announced as the captain for the U.S., the Ryder Cup, coming to Whistling Straits in 2020, and he's the first American captain that has not won a major.
Yeah.
I tweeted about this the other day. I said, hey, I've never won a major. Can I be a captain? And some people liked it. Okay, that I get what you're trying to say. But I got ratioed, a.k.a. more people like yelling at me than enjoying the tweet because, oh, you don't have to win a major. Well, you think you're better than Steve Stricker? Like, a lot of people like rush to Steve Stricker's defense. He's a good golfer. He's not way great. Better than me.
He's not a legend.
He's not a legend. He's never won a major championship. Is he deserving of this Ryder Cup captaincy?
Yeah.
Would he? The question is, if this was 5 miles south of the border in Illinois, would he be the captain? No. Is he the captain because it's in Wisconsin? Yes. So let's not treat it like it's anything different, right?
And he went to college at Illinois.
Oh,
people forget that.
What a traitor.
He went to the University of Illinois instead of going to Wisconsin. But that aside, I looked at Stricker being named the captain here kind of like if like the Brewers would have an all-star game and you had an aging Ryan Braun, Braun would get the token all-star bid like they did for Henry Aaron in 1975, or how like Dwayne Wade got the token all-star bid. Not that the game was in Miami, but sometimes if a game is in a home city, they'll put a guy on the all-star team from that team, an aging veteran who's been around and maybe a multiple time all-star, and they'll just put him on the team. I thought this was a lifetime achievement award that they kind of gave him for, you know, he's a Wisconsin guy. It's going to draw very well, the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. My question about it is, how's the weather going to be at the end of, end of September, early October? I mean, are we going to get bad weather for that? I mean, that's a tough place to hold a golf tournament.
I almost feel like, and again,
this time of the year,
I could be reading into this, but golf has sort of boomed in Wisconsin over the last decade.
It has.
It almost feels like golf is giving Steve Stricker credit for that. And I don't think that's right.
No. He hasn't brought, I mean, yeah, he's from here. He's the most accomplished golfer from Wisconsin, but... You know, the fans have come out and supported all these events, not because of Stricker. Now there's not, as of right now, there's no, after the Ryder Cup, no more Rangers. There's no more majors coming to Wisconsin.
So I think we can add Steve Stricker to the list of guys that will never come on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? We've tried to get, and this isn't sour grapes, but we've tried to get him on. Oh, yeah, we'll get Steve on for you. Oh, he's too busy. Okay. All right.
Do you want to talk to the Vice Communications Director of American Family instead? Yeah, sign us up, please.
Well, you must have had a tap on my phone line yesterday because I was talking to the Ryder Cup, and I said, you know, we'd love to, because they tried to get us. somebody who's an associate guy with the Ryder Cup on the show yesterday for today. And I said, well, we'd love to talk to Steve.
Right.
We'd love to have this guy who's the director of the Ryder Cup and talk about that. I said, well, we're kind of into the Bucks and Brewers right now and some Packers stuff, but maybe when we get closer to the event.
We've got a guy who runs a merchandise tent. Would you like to talk to him?
No. Why can't
Let's clear our schedule.
Give us Steve. Give us 10 minutes of Steve. He can clear some time out if this is a big deal for Wisconsin. Apparently it is.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. It's not sour grapes from us, but it sure does sound like
it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, no, I was battling that yesterday because they were trying to force some Ryder Cup flunky onto us, and I was like,
Book him. Let's talk to him. 9:30 today.
No.
Book him. I want to see who it is.
I told him to call us back when we get closer to the tournament.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.